I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I lost my screen. Let's see. Where are we? Oh,
we're there back. You go. You're back.
Okay, so I would.
I'm going to say the roll call first, Mayor.
Pardon me?
I'm going to go roll call.
Oh, yes. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Page.
You're muted, Steve. Did you say here? You're still muted.
Still muted, Steve.
Hit the space bar, Steve.
It doesn't always work.
I had the agenda up and I was hitting my space bar, so I had to switch screens over to this. But nonetheless, I am here.
Okay, so I would entertain a motion to accept the agenda.
Make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the process for the interviews today is going to be, for the interviews tonight, as we're going to have executive session on October 1st for possible action to follow. So we're not going to make any decisions tonight. And the term of this position, this appointed position, is until the election is certified in November 2021. And public comments will be accepted about the candidates due to the city clerk by 4 p.m. on Wednesday, 9:30, so that you will get any public comments of people having comments about this interview process tonight. So we picked the order of the interviews based on when they turned in their application. So we have a list of 13 questions that we're going to be asking the applicants, and we're going to start with Tammy Deedy and just rotate. Everybody gets to ask a question. So the first person that we're going to interview is Bernie O'Donnell.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Is 13 a lucky number or not?
Yes, it's definitely.
And being first, is that good or bad? I'm not sure. So I'll give it my best.
It's in my book, it's a lucky number. So
okay.
And we won't have any opening statements or any closing statements because we have five people and we have a big agenda today. So we'll just get Tammy go ahead and start the questions.
Okay, so welcome. So why did you decide to apply for the city council position and what have you done to prepare for it?
I good question. I have been doing my homework. I'll try to do the best I can. I know that the city right now is at a pivotal point in a moment of transformation, and it has been for a while, right? And so I think it's critically important that position number 6, the vacancy, is filled with a candidate with the right qualifications. So I believe I'm the right person at the right time and in the right place in my career to help the city that's about to go through a major growth experience. So for 14 years, I've been a consumer of city services, and now it's time, I believe, for me to be a producer of city services. So I want to do that. I know I've got the qualifications, I know I've got the experience, and hopefully I can answer that in more detail in another question. But aside from all that is that Black Diamond is home to me. It's been home to me and my family, my wife of 31 years. We were high school sweethearts. We grew up in in Roslyn, Washington, another coal town, and we've been here for 14 years. It's where I raised my three kids, and this is hometown for me. And so it's important for me to give back, and I'm in a position in my career where I can do that. And I think I bring the right skills to do that.
Great. Thank you.
Mayor, are we just going down the list of questions?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. With the same candidate all the way down to the number 13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Bernie, welcome. Define civic engagement and what it looks like to you.
Civic engagement for me is if I'm fortunate to be the city council member, I think it is being a public servant, and it's here to represent all community members, all the citizens of the great city of Black Diamond, and that's my job, right? So Tony and I are not part of the Ten Trails community. And so I'm here to represent all neighborhoods, and I hope I can bring that perspective. And I'm fortunate that I've been in the community for 14 years, that I can talk a little bit about the heritage and the character of the people, and why it's important that we carry that legacy forward as we embrace new citizens of Black Diamond, you know, as we start to grow. And I think that's my job. And so that's how I would define that.
All right, for the next question, Bernie, once again, thank you for applying. What strengths and qualities will you bring to the council?
Oh boy, that's a good one. So first of all, my degree is in architecture from the University of Washington. I started out at Wazoo. I wanted to be a cougar. Chased my girlfriend to Central Washington University, became a wildcat, and then became a husky. Graduated in architecture. From the University of Washington, I couldn't get a job as an architect, so I ended up working for the UW, their capital projects program, for 9 years. It gave me an opportunity as a public employee to build some of the biggest buildings on the Seattle campus. I was fortunate to be able to also lead the construction, the design and construction of the new campus at the time, which was the Tacoma campus. And so I've got a lot of experience working in the public sector side as a public employee, making budgets happen, managing capital projects, solving difficult issues, and bringing things forward. That's a lot of my experience there. I have since been a director at an executive level for the city of Seattle. I have been on the private sector side for another 10 years and all progressive steps in my career advancements to becoming a vice president of a major national company on the private sector. And now I'm the proud owner of Rock Project Management Services in Renton, Washington. And that brings a lot of leadership skills, a lot of technical experience from the public side, on the private sector side. And I think I can bring all that together, whether it's we're in the budget moment right now, right? The city is, and I think I can lend a lot there. I'm a black belt in lean business practices, and I can offer a lot of that up too. So I think the learning curve hopefully is short, and I can actually be a resource to everybody and contribute substantially to the city council and all the committees and all that.
Thank you, Bernie.
Bernie, have you been volunteering or serving in our community or in other volunteer projects?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my first event in Black Diamond was the Miner's Day. I ran a 5K and I didn't do very good. I was, I think, 48 at the time, and it was me and my brother, and he pushed me aside as we were going across the finish line so he could beat me. So I'm not very happy about that. But so that's my event. Of course, as a resident, I've been a part of all of that. As far as volunteering, I'm a past president of Rebuilding Together South Sound for the Puget Sound region, south of Highway 18, lots of projects, rebuilding homes for elderly and low income or disabled homeowners. And so I've been doing that for about 19 years. For 11 years, every month we'd serve warm meals to the homeless or people that just needed a warm meal. That was the Millionaire Club. For the environment, working with Forterra, pulling weeds, invasive weeds, and picking up trash and spreading mulch along the Duwamish River. The Relay for Life, American Cancer Society, the Heart Walk, all kinds of good stuff. So, and then at a corporate level, you know, big sponsors and all that. So I feel like in my career, in my time, I put in a lot of volunteering hours, and I'm happy. You'll see, if I'm fortunate to become a council member, you'll see me all in making stuff happen there and supporting the local community. More than just paying my property taxes, I'm gonna make sure that you guys get 100% of me. So to know me is to know that I'm all in, and you're gonna see that. I commit to that for sure.
All right, thank you. And for the next question, what are your thoughts on the city having a city administrator?
Well, I think the mayor has probably got her plate full, especially as the city grows. I think the public services need to be aligned with the growth of the city, and I think it would be wonderful to give the mayor some support there, so she's not having to wear two hats. And I'm 100% behind making sure that we have that. In addition to that, I think every department we need to make sure we align the needs and the staffing, and not just a number of people, but the quality of the people. So the salaries have to be there to attract really top talent so that we can provide exceptional customer service to the citizens. So in a responsible manner, we do that, make sure we can afford it, but we need to invest in the city staff and making sure that we can provide the services that are gonna be important to the growing city. We have one chance to get it right in the beginning. Right, so we gotta invest in the right numbers and the right time in the right way. And so I'm all about people. We want to make sure we do that the right way.
Okay. Next question is, in your opinion, what do you see as the biggest challenge or issue in Black Diamond? And furthermore, how would you propose to fix this challenge or issue?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. And I don't know that it's limited to just one challenge. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a politician. So, I want to make sure we're addressing the issues of the day, the immediate needs, but also making sure we're looking long-term too. The obvious one is to making sure that as the city grows, that the city services are aligned. So we're looking at the water system, we're looking at the police workforce, the first responders, preserving the open space for with parks, and that community, as it grows, as Ten Trails does, that they don't feel like they're on an island, and somehow we need to pull them in to what is the essence of why we all came here in the first place. You know, that this is, there's some heritage here. There's, we need to respect the history of this town, and what can we do to make this a more active and engaging, and people feel like they're at home. You know, I don't want it to be this bedroom community where people go off into Seattle and they come home at night and they don't ever engage with the actual downtown and the core and the who we are and all that. So I think that's gonna be really important, that we engage with them early on, and that they know that they've arrived, right? It's not that they're just keeping a pillow warm at night and then going to work. Somehow we need to engage with them and make them feel welcome.
Great. So as our city grows and the changes we will be facing, what are your suggestions regarding how best to unite our community and achieve a shared vision for the future?
Yeah, good question. I think we need to keep the big picture in perspective at all times. You know, that it's not just about Ten Trails, right? Not to diminish the importance of Ten Trails, and at some point that they may become a bigger in number than the rest, but I think we need to make sure that we're working together, right? And I think there's a lot of opportunities to do that. I think I love to work with Tony and what he's got going on for the Labor Day and all of that. And how can we bring people together and celebrate, you know, big events and have fun doing it. And I want to be to a point where you're driving through the neighborhood and your neighbor waves at you, or not just your neighbor next door, but the people down the road, you know, and we've all got each other's back, you know. That's what we want to preserve. And I know that we have that in our neighborhood in Greenbrier. I want to make sure we preserve that for the newbies that come in, you know. And so the more we can enhance that, the more we talk and the more we discuss, the more events we have, if, you know, some form of a farmer's market and things like that, you know, the more we can promote where we bring people together and the socializing and all that. That's all really positive.
Great, thank you. And our next question would be, how do you plan to involve residents in decision-making process in our city?
I think it's being open and transparent. I think I'm a social media kind of guy, even though I'm 53 years old, I'm trying to learn all that good stuff. So I want to be, as a council member and a representative of the city, to make sure that I'm accessible as much as possible, and I'm representing not just my idea or my neighborhood, but all neighborhoods, all parts of the city. And so I think what I would do is making sure that I'm available. I own a company. I have a web page. I have a whole HR department and an IT department, and making sure I can be accessible to people. I think that's the biggest thing. I want to be open to ideas. I don't have any hidden agenda. I'm just a family guy that's finally made it in my career to where I want to give back. And so I'm going to be a listener and then provide some sound advice on how we can move forward. And I don't belong to any special organization that wants to do anything different or some big development or something like that. But I'm savvy enough to know that there's special interests out there and people want what they want. And I want to listen, and then I want to be able to contribute in a positive way. So I'm going to try to be that person that's a voice of reason and fair and reasonable at all times is sort of my mantra. Did I answer your question, or was I just rambling?
You're doing a great job.
Okay, thank you.
All right, next question. If appointed, what three steps would you take to put our city on a firmer financial footing?
The first step is to get to the what's so, right? To understand what is the current situation. You know, do we have enough revenue to support our current services? And I think the answer is yes, right? But as long as we're prudent with our dollars. And then we've got to have a plan, right? You can't just jump in and not have a plan. So the second step is to make sure you have a solid plan that you're managing to. In the budget phase that we're going to find ourselves in, to making sure that budget is aligned with what the needs are, right? And then the third part is to execute it properly. The fourth step that I'll add is to make sure that there's a vision, right? We need to have a big picture perspective of where this thing is headed, and to make sure that there's we're thinking in that vision and we're implementing it, and to make sure that we execute on that, you know. So not just to have a plan, but to actually execute that plan with a sense of vision.
I think next is Aaron.
I apologize. We had some internet problems and I just came back into the meeting, so I don't know where we are. Are we on question number 10?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'll go back and listen to the recorded meeting. I apologize. Bernie, if you received $1 million grant to use for the city in any way you wanted, what would you do with it and why?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I would put it towards preserving open space, right? We have one chance to do that. And a grant is a one-time lump sum, right? And so the thing about grants is you can't depend on them to repeat time and time and time again. And so it's a one lump sum type of deal. And so we have an opportunity to invest in a big picture purchase. And I think that that's what I would do. And if you can preserve some open space that can be used for parks and common enjoyment, that's what I would do. So I'm sure I could talk to the public works director and they would have all kinds of capital projects we could do. The other part is to be sensitive to the fact that whatever you buy, you have to maintain, right? And so we need to make sure that if we do a one-time purchase or a major investment of some sort, that is something that we can support with the maintenance and the fix the general budget. If I were to say that, okay, well, that didn't make sense, then it's nice to have a nice big nest egg too, right? So when a rainy day fund, wouldn't it be nice to have $1 million rainy day fund, you know? So that would be my other one, if I got two.
Thank you.
All right. Next question up is, what is your expectation regarding the time commitment that will be required of you to effectively serve on the council? Do you have any concerns about your ability to devote the time needed?
Yeah. Well, so the short answer is I have the time that is necessary to commit, and I expect it to be a substantial amount of time. I am in a point in my career where I am the boss. I'm the owner and president of the company, and so I can commit the time, and I also have internal resources that I can leverage to make sure that I'm free as needed. This is the top priority for me, and it's why I put my name in, is because it is top priority for me, and so there is no other priority. If I have to deal with clients or something like that, I'm a phone call away to them, but it won't interrupt my ability to get the job done. So my job number one is to be a city council member. I understand the standing meetings and that commitment. I've read through all of the requirements that are out there, the manual that talks about, you know, what the job is and all that. So I have a good understanding of that. I've read through the budget. I understand all that. I feel like I have a good handle on the scope of work. And my promise to you, I don't want to sound like a politician, but my promise to you is that I'm going to be there. I don't expect to miss a single meeting unless I have a sick child or something like that. But I'm committed and I want to make it happen. And I keep my word. To know me is that I keep my word, and I'm going to make it happen.
Okay, I've got to go to the unmute button instead of the space bar. So, okay, we're almost there. Two more questions. So the city's working on its parks plan. What do you see as lacking in our community, Bernie?
Well, you know, quite honestly, I don't think there's too much lacking. I think, we are fortunate. We are really, really, really lucky. Driving through, you see, Mount Rainier in the distance and the fresh air, that you wouldn't see the same Mount Rainier if you're in Seattle, right? You wouldn't even see the same Mount Rainier if you're in Renton. It's so much clearer. We're so much closer. We are fortunate to have natural beauty, right? And so there's a lot of goodness that is there. And I'm not sure that there's anything that I would want to change. One of the thoughts I have is that, as the city grows and we think about what's important to preserve, I want it to be a sense of the heritage and the hometown, and what is that, what's the sense of the heart of the city? Where is that, And I think that would be something, 169 needs to be moved away. So we don't have that issue, but I really want there to be a sense of you have arrived when you show up to Black Diamond. You didn't drive through. That it's a destination, that it's home, that people that come visit Black Diamond start to have as much pride as we have because we've been here. That's what I would want to change, is to know that People are proud that they've lived in Black Diamond, that they live in Black Diamond, that they're saying this is the place you need to be, not to attract more people, but to just boast the fact that we're proud of where we live, you know.
All right, finally, please make the case why you should, or why we should select you as the next city council member.
Okay, so first of all, I think that probably every candidate is probably qualified. If you choose to be a candidate, you're choosing it for a reason, and it's probably because you love the community and where you work. And so I don't want to presuppose that I'm better than anybody. But what I can offer is that I have the public sector executive leadership experience. I have decades of that experience. I have, as a business owner, I know how to balance a budget. As a community member, I've been here for 14 years, and it's about darn time that I start giving back, and I want to be that person. I know I can bring the technical skills, I can bring the leadership skills, and I can bring all that good stuff forward that's going to be necessary as we grow, that we're making responsible decisions, right? You know, you want to be an informed owner. As I tell our project managers, we got to be an informed owner. And part of that is making sure that we're making informed decisions. And I feel like I can do that with my experience. I'll do the homework and read what's necessary to be prepared for major legislation that we're in and major big decisions that we're making. So I'll be that person. I have the right balance between the technical skills, the leadership skills, but also at the end of the day, this is home, right? We all want to do the right thing for our community, and that's where I'm at. I want to do that right thing. And so I'm here not because I have some hidden agenda or anything like that. I truly am passionate about wanting to do that for the city of Black Diamond. And I owe it. So for 14 years, you guys have given that to me, and I want to do the same back for the next generations and the generations to follow.
Great. Thank you, Bernie. So our next candidate is Ben Singleton, Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Bernie. Hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm a little concerned after coming after Bernie. That's pretty
high. I know. It's unusual to listen to everybody's answers. Because usually in the past, we have people step out of council chambers. So, yes, you guys kind of get the inside of this. So, Mayor, you said me first. Do you want me to go with question number one? Or are we still doing the same?
Yeah, question number one.
Okay, you betcha.
We're just going to keep rotating through until we're done.
You got it. My pleasure. Okay, so, Mr. Ben, why did you decide to apply for the city council position? And what have you done to prepare for it?
Well, the reason I decided to vote for the city council is because I moved out here with my wife and my family to get a new start. I am like Bree, and I recognize some of the folks from the Ten Trails community, decided to come out to a place and start something new. I fell in love with this place. When my wife and I were moving from Renton, we traveled all over the place, but we got invited to a Ten Trails big kickoff, and we met everyone's favorite first mayor. Right, or second mayor, and so fell in love with the place. And so the net result is that I feel it's an opportunity for me to pour into a place that has brought a lot of richness to me. Ironically, 6 months after I got out here, I lost my job. I spent 9 months unemployed. So I had a bit of time on my hands to really kind of appreciate where I live. And as far as the things that I've done to prepare, I've reached out to different people within the community and have been involved in the social posting. I know Bree's been on there. Hey, Bree. But, you know, in regards to engaging people within the Ten Trails community, because for the long time, there were certain people within, you know, within Black Diamond who were maybe hesitant for change. And so I wanted to kind of see where people were at and understand, you know, the pains. And so I think anybody from Ten Trails would provide, I think, a very unique position specifically to drive a community that is inclusive of all types of people. It isn't bringing in riffraff, but it's bringing in warmth. So I prepared by talking to my neighbors.
All right. Well, Ben, thank you for applying. Define civic engagement and what it looks like to you.
So for me, civic engagement is just like my previous person, Bernie, who was speaking. It is talking to your neighbors. It's saying hello. It's stopping at the bakery and talking to people, engaging and finding out what people's gripes are, where the cops are parked, having conversations with people that you don't know. I'm very fortunate to live in a community that it's new and we have opportunities to create new culture, but it's really based upon history. And so for me, civic engagement is talking to people who don't look like me, who don't vote like me, who don't, spend their weekends like me, and trying to advocate for people who may not have a voice.
Did we lose Aaron again?
Did we lose Aaron again? I don't see her.
Well, if you move out to 10 Trails, there's a really great internet connection.
Do you want me just to ask question number 4, or do we want to just move on to the next person?
Move on to the next person.
All right. With that in mind, I'm asking question 3 here with what strengths and qualities will you bring to the council?
So by trade, I'm a salesperson. And what I've done it for 17 plus years, I've been in telecommunications and networking services. I've worked for 2 companies, and in sales, usually people are 6 to 9 months and they quit or get fired. The reality is that I've been someone who's been stable, and the reason I've been stable is because I listen. I take time to understand people who they don't fit in my paradigm. And so my skill set is specifically one that not only do I listen, I take time to come back and to challenge. So I listen to people actively. I'm not waiting for them to stop talking in order to get my point in. And then I mull it over, and then I ask questions that open up conversations that don't always come up, aren't always easy, so.
Thank you. Is Councilmember Stout returned?
Yeah, Councilmember Page.
Okay, my mute button is not working.
No, you're good.
The space bar is not working. So have you been volunteering or serving in our community or on other volunteer projects?
Yeah, so I have been the director of media for a local church for several years. Actually, one of the things that I did during COVID is I stood up our ministry so that way we could keep doors open and yet socially be responsible. So I got us to online streaming, and literally the day before the governor locked everything down. I've also been involved with community organizations like Sisters Against Lupus to help drive awareness of the impact of it. If you don't know, it's an autoimmune disease that impacts people of color at a much higher rate. And so I've been involved in that and help fundraising and providing the services that I do outside of work. I'm a photographer. I've worked with Snoop Dogg and Kirk Franklin, and you name it. I've worked with a lot of different people.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on the city having a city administrator?
I think a second set of eyes are not a bad thing. I think having somebody to hold people to task is a good thing. I think that someone driving projects is a fantastic thing. I think that I'll say it in my own church situation, we had someone who was floundering, unfortunately. And so I had to come in as an administrator so I can appreciate what that looks like, getting things that are behind, that are delayed. An administrator really helps to drive that, be the bad guy, unfortunately, sometimes. But end result, if your focus is on doing the right things, it's a very positive experience.
It'd be my turn again?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We're trying to keep track. Thank you, Ben. So in your opinion, what do you see the biggest challenge or issue is in Black Diamond? And how would you propose to fix that challenge or issue?
Well, I think anybody who lives in the 10 Trails community, for me at least, is just getting integration. The reality is there are still many people within our community who feel like we don't have a voice. Now, internally, we have our own battles and struggles. I know that Bree can attest. I know that Nathan on here can attest, where we have our own issues with Oak Point, right, and how they do things. And I think that that's actually one of the benefits of having a 10 Trails resident, because we have a specific venture. We bought here because we knew that this is a great opportunity. ADD kicked in for a second, and so I apologize for missing all the question. Could you repeat it?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So in your opinion, what do you see the biggest challenge or issue in Black Diamond? And how would you propose to fix that challenge?
Yeah, so the challenge is the integration. The way that I do it is one, continue to be involved in the social media groups that are associated to the 10 Trails. So for example, if you're not a 10 Trails resident, you can't be part of the Facebook group. And the reality is that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think being able to code switch, speak between traditional Black Diamond and new school Black Diamond is a good thing. I think being involved when COVID is not really a concern, to be more out in the street, not necessarily door knocking every Saturday, but specifically making sure that you go to not only the quote-unquote required opportunities, but making sure that you're not just a homebody and staying at home. And so having conversation, again, I'm a sales guy. I can't run from it, but so I'll talk to anybody, obviously. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it. I like to talk to people, and then I find out what their problems are. And I often find that other people are having the same problems. And then when we can get together on those things, we can do some other good.
All right, on a similar note, as our city grows and the changes we will be facing, what are your suggestions regarding how to best unite our community and achieve a shared vision for the future?
Well, one, I would focus on getting us past where it's 10 Trails versus Black Diamond. That's it. I mean, you came to my door when you were campaigning back in the day, and I think that's one of the things that I verbalized. But we have to become bigger than two communities. We have to become one community, and keep that in mind. Where we have differences, we need to provide respect. Where we don't agree, we need to try to find opportunities to find common ground. And so the way that we do that is start with respect. Focus on respect, and then say at the end goal. At the end of the day, there's going to be 4,000+ houses out here. But guess what? There's still going to be people who've got 2, 3, 4 generations that have lived in Black Diamond, and both parties need to respect each other. I have neighbors behind me with a really big dog. But guess what? When that big dog literally shakes my house because our houses are on top of each other, I still go out there and we still talk and we still, hand food over the fence. So that's how it's done. It's with little action.
Thank you.
You're back, Councilmember Stout.
I apologize. We're having some internet problems, so I set up a hotspot really quickly, so hopefully I can stay the rest of the meeting. I truly apologize. Bernie, how do you plan?
Oh, we're Ben. This is Ben.
I'm sorry. Mr. is Singleton, right?
Listen, if I can have that hair color, I would totally go for it all day.
There's a way you can do that. It'll work.
Yeah, there is a way you can do it, but I earned it in a bad divorce.
Okay, I apologize.
No worries.
So here's your question. How do you plan to involve residents in the decision-making process in our city?
Polling, a meeting, talking, having coffee. Obviously when I suspect that once ground is broken in 2032 on the eventual 10 Trails buildings over here, it's a joke. We're gonna have some businesses to meet over. I know. We wanna get the tax dollars in sooner rather than later. right? We want Oak Point to pay out in order for us to be able to move things along so people can get what they were promised on all sides, the city as well as the community. But yeah, I think that I think we as a community, I'm sounding like a politician. It's been a long day, so I apologize for stopping twice.
That's okay. You're in the hot seat.
Yeah, there you go. There's no cold water. Bree, you're coming. They're coming for you, Bree. They're coming for you. I know she's ready. So could you repeat the second part of that question? Then my brain will.
I think you've already covered it. It was about okay, how would you involve residents in decision-making process? And you said meetings and coffees and get-togethers. So thank you.
If you don't talk to people, you're not going to know what their issues are. So
thank you.
Thank you. All right. If appointed then, what three steps would you take to put our city on a firmer financial footing?
So three steps to financial. So I'll take notes that'll help me out. The first thing is find out where we're at financially. If you don't know where we're at, where we're in the hole, where our deficits are, run an analysis of potential upcoming things in the next 60 plus months in regards to liabilities, insurance, backup 911 services. If you don't know those things, then spending money is kind of a dangerous thing. So you have to assess where you're at. The second is to drive on things that are previously committed. So if we've previously committed to building out a fire station, or we've previously committed to, adding additional capacity for our schools, that we have the money set aside for that. And then thirdly, the third thing is get a better pulse. I think that we still have two communities. I think that as our community comes together, I think we'll have a better grasp on what our values are. I think all of our values are fairly similar, but I think the way that we want to go about them is different. So.
Okay. So if you received a $1 million grant to use for the city in any way you wanted, what would you do with it and why?
So $1 million is not a lot of money. I remember when I used to think it was, but it's not a lot of money. The first thing I would do is again, I would go back to assessing what are our liabilities. As Bernie said, grants don't come come often. They're not a replenishment thing. You can't live off of them. So the first thing is assess what are our potential debts. Because debts are something that are always growing. And until you pay them down, they're going to continue to grow. Secondarily, we find out, are there any immediate needs that are not necessarily personal things? I have an agenda to have toilets available X, Y, and Z, but specifically, are there people within our community that are suffering, that are not getting the care, that maybe that things they're falling through the cracks because the state doesn't have the budget. Is it going to be big numbers? No, but engagement with taking the monies that we have and then maybe potentially partnering with nonprofits might be something to look at in order to, let's just say, additional food bank capacity, those type of things, to supplement. So.
All right, so what is your expectation regarding the time commitment that will be required of you to effectively serve on the council? And do you have any concerns about your ability to devote the time needed?
So my expectations are, I have more than enough time. The reason why I know that I have more than enough time is because I'm a busy person. Just last night I was doing video editing and recording for that nonprofit. I'm going to be editing over the weekend. What I have found is if you want something done, you often give it to a busy person. Busy people often find ways and creative ways to get more stuff done in a very limited capacity. So I have no issues with having enough time. I've got the drive, I've got the time. and I leverage technology to my my best advantage.
Yes, it's my turn. Okay, so the city is working on a park plan. What do you see is lacking in our community?
I think what's a lack is not something that money fixes. I think that many people that are legacy Black Diamond are very happy with a particular way of life. I think the biggest challenge is opening up the heart of the city. I think Ten Trails was certainly a huge part of that, but I do think that we need to let people know what an awesome town that we live in. I think it's really expanding where people know us as not just a place to get a speeding ticket, not just the place with the traditional bakery that's the oldest one and working wood fire in the country, but a place that has actually has food to eat, restaurants to go to, commerce to have. So I think it's opening up the knowledge of Black Diamond. That's what I think needs to happen.
All right, finally, please make the case why we should select you as the next city council member.
I think I would be a good candidate, and the reason why you should select me is because I'm going to work hard. I am regularly putting in 12 to 18 hour days, and I seem to find more time. Usually coffee is a friend. I didn't have any recently, so there's that. But I think the reason is that I'm committed to making sure that Ten Trails is not the monster that people have made it out to be, and Black Diamond is not the ogre that doesn't want to welcome people in. I'm going to work diligently to make sure that that is a reality by showing up on doorsteps and showing up at coffee and continue to be engaged in the community.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks.
So our next candidate is Tony Moss.
Hello. All right. First question up. Why did you decide to apply for the city council position, and what have you done to prepare for it?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for your time. Certainly great responses from Ben and Bernie. Well, most of you know me. I'm sorry, that light is a little obnoxious. Well, most of you have known that I have applied for city council appointments before in the past. And city council to me is the ultimate way to give back to the community. It's a way to be an administrator in the community. And in the past 8 years, I have certainly shown some leadership. And I think I can display that in the city council.
Okay, so Tony, can you define civic engagement and what it looks like to you?
Civic engagement. I've been in Black Diamond for 9 years now. This August, so last month, 9 years. And for the past 8 years, I've been a part of the Black Diamond Labor Days Committee. Most recently, in the last 2 years, I've been the, as all of you should, I think, should know, being the director of Black Diamond Labor Days. I'm also the, not to sound weird, but the worshipful master or president of the Masonic Lodge in Black Diamond. I've also participated in the Black Diamond Miners Day over many years. Civic engagement is just being out there doing everything you can to better the lives of our community. And I do that through leading by example. I'm hoping I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm done, Tammy. Thank you.
Okay. So what strengths and qualities will you bring to the council?
Strengths and qualifications. I come from an operations background, and operations, you have to look at and listen to all of the subject matter experts and take in their knowledge to be able to come up with a plan. I'm willing, to listen to those subject matter experts within the city. And what I will bring to the council is a level of leadership only in the capacity of a freshman council member. Okay. This appointment is only 1 year. Anybody you select, I hope realizes it's only 1 year. That's how I go into this. If I was a council member, I would have to regularly shut my mouth and listen.
Next. So the next question would be, you might have already answered this, Tony, in your other questions, but have you been volunteering or serving in our community and or on any other volunteer project, which you pretty much answered, but go ahead and answer it again.
Yeah. Can I just say yes?
All right, next question, Tony. I think you've got that one covered. What are your thoughts on the city having a city administrator?
My thoughts is absolutely not. I believe in a strong mayor. I believe in the council's decisions. I don't think we can afford a city administrator. I just believe in a strong mayor system.
All right, thank you. In your opinion,
I think, didn't we miss Councilmember Stout?
My apologies. Yes,
yeah. I've been missing in action a couple.
No, my apologies. Yes,
I can see you, so you can go.
Tony.
Yes, ma'am.
In your opinion, what do you see as the biggest challenge or issue in Black Diamond, and how would you propose to fix this challenge?
Well, I think I've been working on that challenge, the biggest challenge, for a while now, and that's including all neighborhoods. That's bringing in 10 trails into the Black Diamond community. You know, I've always addressed the community as neighbors. You know, you might have seen on my Black Diamond Labor Days video, I always address everybody as neighbors. It's important that we have that inclusive feel. You know, this is a small town. It still is. Small city. It still is. And it will be for quite a while. Living in close proximity, you know, bringing in neighbors from all neighborhoods and making them feel welcome. How do I go about that? I think I've demonstrated that in the past in my approach to Black Diamond Labor Days.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. All right, so as our city grows and the changes we will be facing, what are your suggestions regarding how best to unite our community and achieve a shared vision for the future?
Again, inclusivity, including the entire city, making 10 trails feel welcome. There's going to be other neighborhoods come in, brand new neighborhoods. There will be forests and, you know, woods clear cut. It's very unfortunate for those old, you know, Black Diamond blood. But I think the people that we gain in Black Diamond will certainly enhance the quality of the city. I'm sorry, I glossed over the second part of your question, Christiana.
Yeah, would you like me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
Sure. What are your suggestions regarding how best to unite the community and achieve a shared vision for the future?
Achieve a shared vision for the future. Yes, I lead by example. So I would encourage my fellow council members, assuming I'm selected, to get out there and do the same. I know our time is limited. However, you know, getting out there and being a goofy train robber and entertaining is definitely a small facet of that issue. Just getting out there and including all neighborhoods. That is all.
Okay, thanks. So how do you plan to involve residents in the decision-making process in our city?
Oh, wow. How do I bring residents in the decision-making aspect of the city? You know, I always thought an empty council chamber is a sign of a trusted council. So the council chambers are empty, obviously the council is doing something right. To bring them into the decision-making process, communication, Brenda is doing an awesome job in, putting out notices, visiting neighborhoods, visiting an HOA at 10 Trails is part of my goal as council member, and talking to them about the issues, and that's going to spark some interest with individuals. You know, there's other HOAs around town. Definitely visit them and just talk about what the council is working on. Maybe spark some interest.
All right, if appointed, what three steps would you take to put our city on a firmer financial footing?
Well, I'm definitely not a financial guy, so I'm not going to BS my way through this question, okay? Again, this appointment is only 1 year. This council person that you're going to select only has 1 year to learn all the facets of council. I would listen to the subject matter expert and, you know, being the that financial person and listen to the council and their inputs.
Thank you, Tony. The question is, if if we received $1 million grant to use for the city, and you can use it in any way you want, what would you use it for and why?
Well, I didn't realize there was two financial questions in a row. Again, I'm not a financial person. I would listen to the SMEs, the subject matter experts. But one place I would like to put it into is upgrading our parks and maintaining our parks. Thank you, Mel.
You're welcome.
Council Member Ogilvie.
All right, Tony, what is your expectation regarding the time commitment that will be required of you to effectively serve on the council? And do you have any concerns about your ability to devote the time needed?
Yeah, so I retired from the Navy, okay? So I retired from the Navy Reserves. And a lot of people, especially active duty Navy, they say, oh, it's just reserve. Well, no, it's not just reserve, because we have to manage our day job, we have to manage our families, and we have to manage our time in the reserves. Well, what the commercials don't tell you is that it's just not 2 weeks a year, one week in the month, okay? I estimated just before I retired how many hours I put into the reserves, and that's probably 40 hours a month at home that I put into the Navy, which I expect, yeah, give or take another 40 hours in council, in reviewing notes and agendas and different plans of this nature and that nature. So my expectations are easily handled as far as time commitments.
Tony, the city is working on its park plan. What do you see is lacking in our community?
Lacking in our parks plan. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad to see that's a question here. I see, no offense to anyone in particular, but I see a lack of maintenance. When I go to a park, I expect to see green grass. Eagle Creek is one of those places. The skate park is in need of repair right here. That needs to be timely, because that is one of the only, one of the few outlets that our children have being in shutdown, being in lockdown and homeschooled, stuck at a computer all day. They love to skate, so let's get that fixed quickly. I'd like to see, I'm not sure if this is in place right now, but I'd like to see the Lake Sawyer boat launch have special days where they are like national holidays, where there's free boat launch or free parking. I'm not sure if that's in place right now or not. Our natural resources are becoming very limited, and the larger the city grows, the more we need to maintain those assets that we have.
Thank you.
All right. Finally, please make the case why we should select you as the next city council member.
As the next city council member. Well, kind of brings me back to, let's see. I just want to kind of welcome you to our annual selection of a city council member, it seems like. I'm glad I got a chuckle out of that. Well, I realize that this is only a one-year appointment, I don't say that lightly, as you know, in the term of only a 1-year appointment. It comes a lot of weight with that. However, there's a lot of learning that happens in the first year. I'm willing to learn the position, the issues, get into in-depth details of the issues, and do the best I can to create a positive neighborhood that is Black Diamond.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. So our next candidate is Bree Durham.
Good evening, guys. Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, council members.
Good evening. I think Stephen's up. Paige.
Councilmember Paige, you've got the first question.
Yes, I'm still having technical difficulties with my space bar. hi, Bree. Why did you decide to apply for the city council position, and what have you done to prepare for it?
Great question. I am new to Black Diamond and recently moved to 10 Trails. Was definitely part of the first kind of wave of residents to move into 10 Trails and kind of start learning about the city. I have been a resident of Maple Valley. I have family in Ravensdale, and I have longtime friends that have been in Black Diamond for many, many years. So I just love the small town charm of Black Diamond, and that's why I really was motivated to move out to the city. And my wife's also a hairdresser, so we know tons of people out here, and just thought this would be a really great fit for my family. So I wanted to serve on the council for a few different reasons. One, I just have always believed in being of service to whatever city that I'm living in, and I think it's just part of being a good neighbor and a good resident. And the second reason is because I do want to connect the 10 Trails neighbors to the city. I think there's a little bit of a disconnect with communication, and there's so many motivated and excited families moving to 10 Trails that want to know more about this city. They want to get engaged, and they want to feel like they're part of the community. And they're moving in from all different places. And so I really want to, number one, represent them and their voice, and as well as I want to make sure we're preserving all of the amazing things that Black Diamond is and has been built around with the many generations that have been here for many, many years. And so I think I'm committed to really wanting to serve as a voice of the 10 Trails community, as well as find ways where we can all connect and get the communication out there.
All right, great. Define civic engagement and what it looks like to you.
Yeah, civic engagement is getting involved in everything to do with the city and understanding all of those different parts and pieces. It's having your pulse on all the different neighborhoods, the different people that live there, getting to know your neighbors in all different parts of the city and what their needs are. That's going out to coffee with people, obviously. It's, welcoming new residents. It's understanding the concerns of established residents that have been in Black Diamond for years. It's going to community events, and it's outreaching as much as you can when you have that time. Understanding the businesses and the owners that live here and what their needs are, talking to the police officers and the fire department about their concerns, and just really, getting a holistic view of what the city's needs are, and then really sitting back and listening and hearing to what the residents are telling you, because you're really serving them. So that's what civic engagement means to me.
Thank you, Brian. Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Melissa?
Good. So the third question would be, what strengths and qualities will you bring to the city council?
Strengths and qualities. Well, I am just about to graduate from college. I know I'm late to the game, but I started my career in apprenticeship and then decided to go on and get my business degree. So I am really good at like large volumes of reading. So I can intake massive amounts of research. I love reading policies. I love reading codes. I'm kind of weird in that way. And so I'm committed to reading a lot of the fine print. I then know that comes along with serving in this type of position, as well as I'm a director of a local nonprofit. And so I come with a lot of project management skills. I'm also a grant writer, so I can lend my skills there to helping, you know, secure any city grants. I definitely have been able to secure 4 or 5 different grants just to keep my programs going in the nonprofit that I serve on and work for. And then I have worked with a lot of cities on workforce development and kind of economic growth strategies. So I feel like I could lend my hand there, as well as lean out processes and update outdated policies, like that stuff I love to really get in the weeds about and, you know, help bring those things up to date. And so I think I can help there.
All right. Great.
What are your thoughts? Oh, Chris, can I jump over? No, that's Chris. Go.
All right. Bree, thanks for applying. My question is, have you been volunteering / serving in our community or on other volunteer projects?
Yeah, I'm always volunteering for things. Right now, my wife and I are kind of spearheading we call it the 10 Trails Outdoor Education. I think it's like classroom or whatever, but it's kind of basically building a group for kids to go and have like socially distanced outdoor activities where they're able to kind of socially see each other still while they're distance learning. I know for my son who has special needs, it's been really hard to socially connect. And so it's been a big deal for us to try to find avenues for that to happen. And so what's happening is neighbors from all over 10 Trails are volunteering their time to teach a subject. Could be science, could be cooking, could be running, it could be soccer. And so we're kind of spearheading that kind of activities for just that local neighborhood, as well as I have been a part of CERT teams in the past, so community emergency response teams. I think that's always an important thing to have going in your community. I've been a part of King County Search and Rescue and Snohomish Search and Rescue for many, many years. So that has been something I'm super passionate about. Like I said, I work for a nonprofit and I'm always volunteering my time to speak at schools about keeping the trades and shop classes alive. I think it's really important that kids learn to work with their hands, and some kids, that's what they're good at doing. And so I go out and talk about basically manufacturing and how they can get into manufacturing careers where they don't have to go to college, but they can actually do that through apprenticeship opportunities. So I've helped Enumclaw School District build out their shop class, the CNC and the welding shop there. That was one of the things that I helped to do, as well as I do go and talk it around to all the high schools about those types of opportunities. So those are just some of the things that I definitely am engaged in.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilmember Stout, you look like you're frozen.
He's frozen.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Councilmember De Leon.
We were just getting back into the rhythm of this. All right. what a night. All right. In your opinion, what do you see is the biggest challenge or issue in Black Diamond? How would you propose to fix this challenge or issue?
I think there's a lot of great things that Black Diamond's doing. So I want to start there. But yeah, I think the three things that I would love to see kind of maybe tackled would be civic engagement. I think this is one of the things that I think is a big deal in kind of uniting the amazing residents that have been here forever with the new residents that are coming to the city. Is how do we get those new residents engaged and connected to what's going on in the city? it's because, I mean, the more information you have, that's power, and then people are, you know, feel empowered that, you know, to be engaged in the community. And I think that's a big thing. And so, you know, if we could do a website update, that would be something that I would love to help out with. And I know that there's so many great new neighbors that are moving in that want to be connected, and just, it's kind of, you know, trying to find out how to do that. And so if we could come up with a plan to figure out how to disseminate information better so that residents feel that they can access things a little bit easier, I would love to spend time kind of figuring out that problem. I also think, you know, balancing population growth with maintaining the charm of Black Diamond is something that is going to have to be considered as more people move into town. How do we do that? And I think there's been a lot of great ideas shared by the other applicants today that I echo. And then I think diversifying the tax revenue would be my next one. I would love to see small businesses come to town. And I'm really holding Oak Point accountable for the promises they've made to establish that economic growth. I know in 10 Trails, I think that would be a big win, as well as just, you know, how do we get new businesses in town in a way that I think meets everybody's needs in the community.
Okay, well, Bree, I'm gonna ask this question, and you can say, please refer to my previous answer if you want. Okay. So as the city grows and the challenges we will be facing, what are your suggestions regarding how to best unite our community and achieve a shared vision for the future?
Yeah, I think I addressed that a little bit, but yeah, I think civic engagement is very important. And I think when we have a plan and some action items that go along with that, that we can kind of like spread the gospel of what all the hard work that the city is doing on their behalf, I think that's huge. So if we can kind of be able to create that vision and share that out effectively, I think that'll go a long way in unifying Black Diamond moving forward.
Great. So, Bree, I think we skipped a question. So maybe you can let me know if we did. I might be wrong. What are your thoughts on the city having a city administrator?
Yeah. No, that hasn't been asked yet. I think the mayor's doing an awesome job, but I also think, you know, as we grow, the workload's going to grow. And so I think having a city administrator may take some pressure off of, a demanding schedule and, you know, balancing all of those things. So I do think that, I know budget season's coming up, so I would have to look at like kind of the numbers and obviously staffing. I understand all those things would need to be considered, but that maybe, you know, having a city administrator may be able to push some of those agenda items along a little bit smoother. And free up some time, you know, so yeah. So yes, I think it's a great idea.
That'd be me next, sorry. Still writing notes down. Let's see, we are number 8, is that correct? I think so. Okay, so Bree, how do you plan on involving residents in decision-making process in our city?
I think it's really important to listen to the issues at hand. And so, yeah, I think when there are kind of moments for public comment, when there are big issues where there is, you know, a lot of things on the table, I do think it's important to talk about those issues with all of the residents that live here and really understand the shared perspective of what they're feeling about those issues. Obviously encourage them to come and voice their opinion. They will probably, you know, if when you're on the council, I know that you guys, you know, have a lot of people talking in your ear and telling you their feelings too. So obviously being open to listening and hearing those perspectives and being open-minded and kind of considering what, you know, I always put myself in other people's shoes to try to understand where they're coming from. And so I think it's a really important to just go out there and solicit that feedback before just making a decision.
All right. I think we're on number nine. So if appointed, what three steps would you take to put our city on a firm financial footing?
First thing I would do is really understand the budget. I've dug into it a little bit, but I'd love to dig into it more and, you know, work with people who have been in it a lot longer than I am to understand the history is a big important thing too. I know managing a budget, city budget, is kind of a labor of love sometimes, and where you've gotten it and where it's come from. And so really understanding, you know, the journey of where that budget's been, so to speak. You know, two would be, you know, understanding what the future plan is as a collective whole. What are the goals of the council moving forward and the city? And then three, articulating that plan and that vision to the residents and the community members that are in the city, so that they're feeling well informed and well represented. Yeah.
Three. This is the $1 million question. If you received a $1 million grant for use in the city any way you wanted to, what would you do with it and why?
I think I share everybody's sentiment on the fact that $1 million feels like a lot, but it's not. I've secured a few $1 million grants, and it really pays for some staffing and, you know, some outreach and curriculum in my world. So I do think that that it's important as a city grows that we are preserving like open spaces for the community to grow. And I think that would probably be an area that I would want to spend money on. You know, also, it's always nice to have an emergency fund of some sort. You know, it's not always something that, you know, we can rely on like federal and state dollars to come down and always bail us out. So it's always nice to kind of have those things, as well as it would be cool to kind of update potentially like the community center and the food banks and things like that. You know, I know there's a lot of great seniors that are here and people, human services that you guys are already trying to provide amazing services for. Sometimes those are underfunded or just need a little bit of a pick me up. So I think that would be something really great to look into with that type of funding.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Next question. What is your expectation regarding the time commitment that will be required of you to effectively serve on the council? Do you have any concerns about your ability to devote the time needed?
No, I've definitely done my homework on understanding what the amount of time is. I know it can be 6 to 8 meetings a month, as well as lots and lots of reading and talking to citizens to understand and get that feedback and to get a good perspective on the pulse of the city. So no, I'm prepared to commit that time and effort and understand that those are commitments that I will, yeah, that I'll need to be focused on.
Okay, the city's working on a parks plan. What do you see as lacking in our community?
I know that there's some great parks in 10 Trails, but I'd really like to see some more parks in Black Diamond, like downtown Black Diamond. It would be really great to kind of have a communal space where all residents can come and feel that sense of ownership and pride. And I think it would be great to kind of have a space where we can do a farmer's market and different community gatherings. I think that would be amazing, as well as just updating kind of the parks that we have, because I know that some of them need some maintenance as well.
All right, finally, please make the case why we should select you as the next city council member.
I'm motivated and passionate to do the work. I definitely think that somebody from 10 Trails needs to be on the council again and hold Oak Point accountable for some of the things they promised the city. I think that I bring a unique perspective and a representation to the neighbors that are in that neighborhood, but I don't want to say that that's my biggest focus. I love the established residents that are here too, and I think that I can do a good job kind of bridging the gap potentially, and like I said, I love listening to people. I love sitting back and understanding the history that's here, the context, putting myself in other people's shoes, and representing the city the best that I can, and the residents' voices that I can hear and bring them to the table.
Thank you. So our next candidate is Chad Hoffman. Is Chad Hoffman here? I haven't seen his name on any of the...
I haven't seen it come up yet either, Mayor.
I just wondered if any of the telephone numbers were... Well, there's a couple of names that I don't recognize. So Chad Hoffman, if you're here, you need to unmute yourself. So otherwise, we're just going to move on. Well, thank you, all of you candidates. And the meeting on October 1st, we will be deciding, having the executive session, probably doing the selection at that time. And so we invite anybody that's at this meeting that wants to make public comments to be sure that they send them in and no later than Wednesday, September 30th, and so that the city clerk can disseminate them to the other council members if there's public comments. And we'd like to have them before the meeting so we don't have to deal with that at the meeting. So anyway, thank you all very much, and we will move on with our meeting.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone. Thank you.
Good luck.
I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So the next item on the agenda is public comments, which we are just accepting written public comments. Now we will be having a discussion when we will actually have live public comments, but we don't have them at this meeting. And the next item on the agenda is a closed appeal hearing. So the Black Diamond City Council will convene this closed record hearing to consider an appeal filed on April 6th. So Brenda, how's this gonna work?
We will have Ms. Kincaid or Mr. Linehan address this at first, and then we'll open it up after they give a little report.
Brenda?
Yeah, we actually need to go ahead and open the public hearing, so everything that we say will be on the record and it's part of the hearing.
Okay, so we open the public hearing.
Okay, I'm off mute and I'm on video. So.
That's the pleasure of Zoom.
We haven't seen your dad for a while, Barb. He looks great.
So the hearing is open. And we were going to start out by having Council Linehan give a little kind of legal stuff opening on procedures. And then I will give the summary of the staff report that you have in your packet.
Great. Thanks, Barb. Mm-hmm. So, Council, what the agenda item before you now is what's called a closed record appeal hearing of an appeal that was filed by a local property owner, CCD Black Diamond Partners LLC, also known as Oak Point. And your role here tonight in this closed record hearing is a little bit different. You need to, you know, normally in a council meeting, you're wearing your legislative hat, your policymaking hat. You need to take off that hat and put on your quasi-judicial hat, which means that you'll be kind of playing the same kind of role that a judge or a hearing examiner would be playing, in that you're going to, instead of making policy or making general legislation to apply to the city, instead you're going to be ruling on a specific request from a specific property owner on an appeal that they have brought to the council that is authorized by the Black Diamond Municipal Code. So this appeal hearing, and I'll hand this back to Barb in just a couple minutes, to explain sort of the substance of the appeal. But the general process here is that the Black Diamond Municipal Code makes makes at least one decision that relates to the TDR program, a decision that only the council can make. So kind of, I know that the TDR program, you probably remember the steps we went through a year and a half or so ago, making some changes to the TDR program. What we're dealing with tonight actually relates to some actions that were taken much before that, in the sense that, as you might recall, the TDR program, when it was originally set up back in 2009, the idea was that this TDR program would allow certain parts of the city called sending areas. The sending areas were designated by the council as areas that didn't want to be densely developed, that the council didn't feel was appropriate for a lot of density. But there were other parts of the city where they thought that they wanted to concentrate the growth and the development of the city. And so those areas were called receiving areas. And the idea was that through this TDR program, the sending areas where additional density wasn't warranted could have the development rights that they could, you know, that property owners could otherwise develop on their property. They could have those rights stripped off and allocated to areas within the receiving sites to have additional density built there instead of on the sending sites. After that program was created, it was adopted as part of the development agreement and the master plan development permit for the master plan developments, 10 Trails and Lawson Hills with Oak Point. And the way it was incorporated was that under those under the development agreement, Oak Point is required, in order to build out to the full maximum number of units that they're allowed to build, they can only do that if they first acquire enough TDRs to make up the difference, which means they have to, under our development agreement, they're required to go out and acquire these development rights from sending sites so they can apply them to their receiving site in order to build out to the full capacity that they're allowed. So as part of that process of importing density from other parts of town so that it can be used at 10 Trails, Oak Point is in the process of acquiring the TDRs that we told them they had to go out and get. And so this appeal tonight relates to one of the TDR transactions that they engaged in when they purchased a development rights certificate. That development rights certificate related to a piece of property that is owned by, I don't know if it's owned by the Comble family or by one of their companies, but it's a property that's there near the intersection of 169 and Ravensdale Road. And that property had a certain number of development rights that were assigned to it under the original development rights certificate issued by the city. After that development rights certificate was issued, it was then transferred to Oak Point as part of that TDR acquisition process that I was just describing. And so this appeal relates to the number of development rights that should be associated with that development rights certificate that Oak Point now owns. So with that kind of as the background, I'm going to hand it over to Ms. Kincaid to talk about what the appeal issue is and what the staff report and recommendation is on how the council should decide it.
Thank you, David. So in your packet, you have a lot of papers. You have the basically the packet that I received from Oak Point requesting this new development rights certificate, or DRC as it's the acronym for it. And you have a survey and you have a staff report from me. And as David was explaining the process and procedure for the transfer of development rights program, you know, the city would issue this development rights certificate when an applicant applies for it or requests it. And it's issued for a number of valid development rights that are associated to transfer or strip away or remove, however you want to think about it, from that sending area parcel. And back in 2017, we in community development, the city issued one of these development rights certificates to William Comble et al. for a particular parcel that that was at that time, the materials in front of staff with the survey said it was a three acre parcel. So there is a formula that is provided in the code, in Black Diamond Municipal Code 1924030, that helps us, it tells us how to calculate the number of development rights that are associated with a development rights certificate. So when staff reviewed that, we issued a development rights certificate to William Comble et al. For 36 development rights. Later on, as David was explaining, the development rights certificate, or DRC, was sold to CCD Black partners, CCD partners, pardon me, that Oak Point is how we think of them. And they requested that the city issue a new DRC because the 3 acre survey and the calculation that resulted from that was not accurate. So they have produced in all that packet, you know, the background and the explanation for staff to review about why the development rights certificate should be reissued for 45 development rights instead of 36. So that's kind of what you have in your packet. And then my staff report is explaining my process in that review, giving you that background, giving you the appeal, basically Oak Point. When they made that request to me, the code requires that there's a time period, a limitation for someone to actually say, oh no, you've got the DRC wrong. That time limit had passed. And so I had to let Oak Point know that I was not able to honor their request and that their path was to file this appeal. So that's where we're at. And the last part of this staff report that I have in your packet is my recommendation and finding and conclusions. And so I have reviewed all of the information and I agree that with the new survey that has been done, that the parcel that was originally surveyed at 3 acres, that was, there is more land. And then when I did the calculation, I do agree that a new DRC should be issued for the appropriate number of development rights for this parcel. So basically what's in front of you tonight is, as David said, the decision is whether or not you agree with my recommendation, finding and conclusions that we, the city staff, you should authorize me basically to issue a new development rights certificate to the new owner that purchased it with this updated survey that is reflective of the acreage that truly is the calculation for the formula of the development rights. And so you're thinking about whether or not you would authorize me to issue a new DRC for 45 instead of the 36 transfer development rights on this parcel. And I do want to say that, you know, you've got a closed record hearing, which means what you're looking at is you're not taking testimony, you're looking at just what is in front of you in this packet. And in a closed record hearing, you hear from city staff making our case and our recommendation to you based on the record that's in front of you that we received. But you also offer an opportunity for the appellant, in this case, it's Oak Point, to speak to you or to answer questions if you have questions. And we do have a representative from Oak Point's legal staff. And this is Megan Nelson. She has indicated that she doesn't really need to speak tonight. But if you have questions, she's here to answer them. So with that, I would just open the floor if you have questions for me.
Thank you, Barbara. Before, just one quick procedural matter that I left out, and I apologize. As Barb was saying, at the end of your considerations tonight, we would ask that you go ahead and make a decision. We would close the hearing when you've got all your questions answered and had an opportunity to hear from anybody that you want to hear from within the closed record. At the end of that, at the conclusion of the hearing, there is a resolution in your council packet. It's agenda item number 6. And that resolution, as drafted, would, per the staff recommendation, approve the appeal, grant the appeal. If the council's decision were to deny the appeal, we could just change the language of the resolution so that it's consistent with the council's decision.
Mm-hmm. This TDR program and DRCs and all of this is just not a very easy topic to talk about, but by all means, if there's any, like, you know, history or background or basic explanation going forward, please feel free to ask.
So pretty much what you're saying is the initial survey said it was 3 acres. It's actually 3.75, and we're just jumping the TDRs accordingly.
Correct.
Adjusting the
TDRs. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. Based on the record that you have in front of you, that's staff's recommendation to you. Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture in the packet now. So, all right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Stout?
My question is about the expiration of the time for correcting that DRC, that certificate. Are there any ramifications for setting a precedent to have every TDR, every DRC reviewed if we make changes tonight? I mean, it makes sense to me if the actual size of the property is updated to go ahead and change that, but you said that there's a time limit.
I can address that if
you
like. Councilmember Stout, you're correct that the way that the code is currently drafted, it is drafted in a way that it assumes that the original parcel owner, or that the parcel owner who's originally issued the DRC, would be the one to file the appeal to ask for the correction, I should say, because that's the person who originally got and would recognize the flaw, supposedly, in the number of TDRs. The code doesn't really anticipate a situation like this where the DRC has been years later sold to another party who did not previously have an opportunity to find an error or raise the need for a correction. And so because of the transfer happening years after the issuance of the DRC, we felt it was appropriate that the code be interpreted to allow that subsequent appeal timeframe to apply after Ms. Kincaid's initial denial. Then there's that appeal period that would kick in, so that somebody who acquired a DRC years down the road wasn't foreclosed or stuck with errors that were made in the past.
Councilmember Deedy.
Councilmember Stout asked my question, so I'm good.
Oh, okay. Are there any other questions?
No.
Just one other point, I think, in case this is lingering in any council member's mind. When the applicant or when the appellant filed their appeal, the original, the survey that was submitted showed that 3.7, not the original survey, but the new survey that was submitted showed the 3.75 acres. To get some independent verification of that, the staff investigated the King County Assessor's Office records, and the records there showed 3.71 acres, which is much closer to 3.75 than to 3. And under the rounding formula in the Black Diamond Code, that equates to 3 3/4 acres. So that would be 45 development rights.
So if there's no further questions, I will close this closed record hearing. And we have no unfinished business, so we will move on to the resolution regarding the closed record appeal hearing decision. Attorney Linehan.
Thank you, Mayor. So having concluded the closed record hearing, it is now the council's duty under the code to make a decision. And so we have included in the packet a resolution that would reflect what the staff recommends, which is approval of the appeal and revision of the DRC to be 45 development rights. Like I said earlier, you know, it's your decision. It's not the staff's decision. So we can adjust this resolution to reflect, you know, the council's determination, but it is the staff's recommendation that this be adopted.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1382, entering a final decision on an administrative appeal requesting a revision to the number of transferable development rights available under DRC number 091220170KOMO01 for King County parcel number 112106-9051.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing agreement with King County for Morganvale South Water Main Replacement Project. Mr. Botcher.
Well, good evening, all. You've all been waiting for this, I know.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, we have a grant agreement before you for $358,517. And so we're asking for approval of this grant agreement with King County Department of Community and Human Services. This comes through their King County Community Development Block Grant program, and is it's actually federal money that is administered by King County. And that probably explains the lengthy contract. There's a lot more paperwork with federal money, and so the contracts are bigger. We have King County is very helpful with it, helping with the administration of these. And although there is more paperwork and more administrative costs, the city has been very successful with working with this program. In the past, we've through this program, we've funded the construction of the skate park, sidewalks from the school to down on Morgan Street down to Abrams, replacement of water main on Fifth Avenue in the southern portion of the city, sidewalks from Abrams to Roberts Drive, replacement of water mains in the downtown area. And now we're asking for, this would fund replacement of water mains in Morganvale. I'm gonna just bring up a map here. This is at the end of your packet, but you can see, I'm going to explain where this is. So south is toward the bottom of the page. Sunny Lane, so off to the left would be the, the bridge, and back to the right would be City Hall. Kind of off the map there, but so looking at the project itself, it would replace 4-inch and 6-inch ACE asbestos concrete pipe in Morgan Drive, and then it would that's where this orange line is, and then it would replace 1.5-inch galvanized iron pipe. So very small pipe here in Union Drive. And then where there's blue, there's a gap. There is no pipe at all. So it would complete an 8-inch water main loop through Morgan Drive and increase fire flow in the area. And this area of the is not covered at all with fire flow. So this would be a new hydrant that would provide fire service in this area. That's all I had. Yeah, I'd like to get going with this. And we've already started the consultant selection process. And it took a while to get this contract from King County. So we'd like to get going. Thank you.
So could you quit sharing your screen so I could see all the council members?
Thank you. How's that?
Councilmember De Leon. You're muted.
Thank you so much. Gosh, so many technical issues tonight. Well, I'm going to start by actually making the motion to adopt the resolution, if that's all right. I'm going to make the motion to adopt resolution number 20-1383, authorizing the mayor to execute a grant agreement with the King County Department of Community and Human Services Housing and Community Development Section of $358,517 for the distribution and administration of community development block grant funds for the Morganville South Water Main Replacement Project.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Deedy?
So I was just going to say, before we made the motion, that it's always a great achievement to get these grants and to upgrade our water lines in Old Town and just around the city. As Seth mentioned, it brings better fire flow. Sometimes it brings even better water flow to residents. So also, you know, when Seth mentioned about the asbestos pipes that the water goes through now, when they go in and start putting in the new pipes, they abandon the other pipes. They don't disturb those. They're just abandoned, and the water is then rerouted to the new pipes. That's it.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yeah, I think another thing of upgrading the service and adding the additional fire hydrants, a big plus for that that corner of that neighborhood. It'll also help in their assessments of their homeowners insurance and that kind of stuff, right? Those will go down as your nearness to a hydrant get closer to a hydrant, your insurance will go down a little bit. So I think this is a win-win all the way around. So good job on securing this block grant.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, I do approve of this as well. My only concern would be the proper notification to the residents before we start disturbing their daily living and noise making. I hope that's going to be in the process of this as well.
Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, thank you. And I was eager to make sure that we were likely going to pass this tonight. And then, of course, I think we're all in agreement about this kind of grant. I just also wanted to mention, I appreciate Seth's walkthrough about the very ambitious plans that we have for the water systems throughout the city. This is definitely, like has already been said, part of this long time coming process. Replacing these pipes is incredibly critical. You've heard some of the materials used, and now I know more about some of the materials we'll be replacing. And I'm just really glad that we can get this we have this grant money and so that we can move forward. So just wanted to add that in there, that I appreciate the thorough walkthrough already on these issues. And I would also agree too, that it's great to just give those residents a heads up. Those are narrow streets. And a lot might, you know, there's just gonna be a lot more impact to the traffic in those small, small narrow streets. So thank you very much though, for all your work on this.
So there's been a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So it's time for department reports. Chief Smith, did you have a report today?
Yes, I do. I've been in my office for 14 hours, so it's a long day.
You should go home.
I know, yes. Okay, so I'm going to make this quick for everybody's sake. Our new deputy chief starts October 5, so I'm going to make sure that she's on here with us on October 15th so I can introduce her to you. We have 12 volunteers in the academy, which is we really drastically need because our last academy was shut down about 2 weeks into it because of COVID. So we're hoping this one continues, and you know, because we always have to, we We have to replace 15, 20 volunteers a year. It's a rotating door. Captain Martin and Firefighter Kraft will be going to the Pierce plant on the 21st of September. They'll be returning the 24th. So when they come back, this is the pre-construction meeting. When they get back, I'll give you a report on what they had to tell me. And I asked them to take some pictures while they're back there too. You won't see the new truck yet because it doesn't go on the line until March, I believe it is. We have two career firefighters that are about a week and a half into the academy. This past Saturday on 25th, we had a residential fire, fairly severe fire. Everybody made it out because they had a smoke. It came in about midnight. Smoke detector went off. Daughter heard it, alerted the house. Everybody got out of the house and they were standing in the yard when we got there. So that's why I always say smoke detectors save lives. So make sure that yours are working. We went to the 911 event at the Lumber House. Quite a few people there. It was a good event. And I'd like to thank them again for sponsoring that. All of our hand crews are back from state mobilization into different fires. We had a hand crew. Three of our members were out for 10 days and went to three different fires in Eastern Washington during that time. And they were working the night shift. So a lot of people don't know that not only do the wildland guys fight fire during the day, but they have shifts that go out there at night. Those fires tend to slow down at night. So 24 hours a day, they're out there. Tomorrow we should see some improvement in the air quality. And by Saturday, I think we'll be doing pretty good. So we're glad to see that. There's smoke in Washington, D.C. from these fires. There is smoke in Hawaii from these fires. So it's nice that we get to share all this smoke with everybody around the world. Our burn ban is still on, and that includes recreational fires. Those are the little fires you have in your, like a campfire. You can't do those right now. We'll open that back up probably after we have some substantial rainfall. New hydrant and so this is like, I like to thank Seth for all the work he's done to improve your water system in the city of Black Diamond. 10 years ago, your fire flow in the city of Black Diamond was terrible. All the things he's done and with the connections and 10 trails, your fire flow in Black Diamond is 100 times better than it was 10 years ago. So congratulations on doing that. And congratulations on Seth on making those things happen. I think that's all I've got for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Seth. We know you've done a lot of work on the water system. So it's time for the mayor's report.
Tammy's got her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, Chief Smith, I just have a question on that house fire. Was that in the Enumclaw, Auburn, the rural area there?
That was up on the plateau, up on, if you go down the valley and go up, you know where the airport is up there on the, up on the plateau on off of 212?
Yep.
And what's really weird about it, about 5 years ago, a multi-million dollar house next to this very same building burned to the ground. So there are no hydrants up there at all.
What I was just going to ask you about.
And on that fire, when we burned to the ground, fire was already coming out of the roof when we got there, and we just could not save it. This one, they got a really good stop and put it out. So
I know when Brock and I built our home here 22 years ago, we had to put a sprinkler system in. Is that not a requirement out there?
Though, if they, those houses, any of the new houses out there have, there's one out there that's huge. Looks like a hotel. That has, it's a new, probably the newest building out there, and it does have sprinkler system. But a lot of these other ones have been there for quite a while. That wasn't always our fire district, right? That used to be Fire District 46. And previous fire chief used to waive a lot of requirements for residential sprinklers. We do not do that. So
my question to you though is, we have residents that are further back in areas that don't have access to fire hydrants. So I just was curious on what the response was for you on backup, you know, because now you're relying on water coming in.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, you know, as a city and as somebody who represents our citizens on you know, on all safety, what would help now that you've experienced that this year? I mean, you've experienced it before in the past, but what would the city need to do to make sure that when we are, if unfortunately somebody has a fire that's in a situation like that, what would be best for the city to make sure that we have available for you?
Well, one thing, you've already done that, because if you look at your regulations now in town, if you build a house and you don't meet those IFSA requirements for road, for access, and for water, then you have to put a sprinkler system in. If you build a house, and so we've seen quite, and if you build a house a certain amount of square feet, regardless, you have to put a sprinkler system in. So those are one of the things that you've done, that is, you know, we are starting to protect them. Now, the thing about residential sprinklers, they are simply put in to protect the residents so they can get out of the house. So they're not really, like, they're not commercial, but at the same time, probably going to put out any fire that you have in there. Second of all, I think you've done it, right? And so now if there's an area where they don't have water in town, which is very few now, we bring water tenders in. You do not have a water tender, but you really don't, you know, you don't need one. So we have three of them around. We have two of them with our, we had three with our M&O levy we just passed. We're buying a new elliptical tender, which will be down in the valley at Station 97, just outside of Black Diamond. And also Puget Sound Fire and Eden Claw both have tenders. So that's one of those, if we need them, it's a y'all come fire. And we bring those tenders in, start a tender operation, and that's how we work that, so.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out the air quality thing. I read in the paper today that the air quality was equal to smoking 9 cigarettes a day. If you worked outside,
that's why I only smoked a half a pack today. So, okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
So it's time for my mayor's report. So I just wanted you to know that today we met on the invasive aquatic vegetation management plan with Department of Ecology and Lakeshore Community Club, because they're going to partner with us and probably donate to the city, because in the future you will have to accept their donation for in kind if we need money. They will accept labor, and so people, including community members that work on putting up signs and notifying it, will be able to use their time as in kind labor. It was kind of a interesting meeting, because they want to help us out, because they want us to help us with the vegetation. So it's mostly the milfoil and the lily pads on Lake Sawyer, and trying to get rid of them because they're not natural vegetation. And actually this afternoon, one of the people from the Department of Ecology already got back to us with a sample of what they did on their program for Shadow Lake. And so they're going to help us make out the grant forms and everything so we can get the money to do this. And it will be good for the lake, because there's a lot of vegetation that shouldn't be in there. And they noticed how much it's changed over the last few years and how much more invasive weeds there are. So it was interesting. The other thing that I did today with May is we got another $67,875 for the coronavirus relief funds. And so I would like to propose that we give $35,000 more to the Black Diamond Community Center because they've already spent all the money that we gave them, and they have a bunch more people that need rental assistance, and we also have a bunch of people that need utility assistance that haven't been able to pay their utility bills. So I would accept a motion from somebody from the finance committee to allow us to give them that other $35,000.
I make a motion to give $35,000 to the Black Diamond Community Center to use for coronavirus relief in our community.
Second.
Councilmember Deedy.
I'll be voting on this, but I just want to let everybody know on the council. Normally, I pull back because it has to do with the community center and because I've been on the board there, but I did step down from the board on Monday, so I am no longer on the board, but still volunteering as normal. But I just wanted everybody to know that I will be approving this, but just so everybody knows that I'm not on the board anymore.
Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I think I'm not sure if you made mention that this distribution of money needs to be used by the end of November, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, I did not say that. We have till the end of the November to use it, and December 15th to report it to get reimbursed. So on to council reports. Councilmember Stout.
I attended a public works meeting. We're still reviewing the water system plan. It's kind of a laborious plan to go through, but it's very interesting, and it's pretty amazing to see what's going on with our water system. And I also attended a finance committee where we approved the vouchers and payouts that were on the consent agenda tonight. I attended the work study session, as did most of our council members, where we discussed a welcoming and inclusive city statement of some kind. We established a committee of three council members to work on that statement. So I am working with Christiana De Leon and Christopher Wisnowski on that statement. And throughout the ensuing week, we've done a little bit of back and forth email. So we're working on that statement and hope to have that ready soon for council approval. I attended the Sound Cities Association PIC meeting, Public Issues Committee. That's a very interesting committee. It does deal with so many issues. And one of the things that came up, which I think you should know about, is the I didn't write it down and I've lost the term. But I think you all know about the homelessness coalition that was established between the City of Seattle, King County, and Sound Cities Association. And they've been having a little bit of trouble getting going on that group. And they took a strange action at one of their first meetings where they kind of limited the input of the Sound Cities Association, which was not the expectation when that organization was formed. So the people who sit on that board are working very hard to kind of overturn something that happened at one of their meetings. There's actually been some contention, which is very unfortunate because there's a lot of money involved and a lot of work to be done in the homeless community. So it behooves everyone to have that organization working well. And right now it's not. So I just wanted you to know that that's something that is ongoing. And quite a few people on the Sound Cities Association are involved very deeply in that organization, and they'll be working to help our voices be heard in that organization. Also, I attended the third in the series of Sound Cities Association racial equity and justice seminars. And this one was about a community organization that reaches out and really does a lot of work in the community. And when we're talking about equity and justice, they showed a few maps that show where certain distresses in people's lives are more prevalent in the communities of color in King County. So even things such as diabetes and heart disease, you know, certain different health problems, not to mention joblessness and, you know, a whole plethora of things are more prevalent in those communities. And this organization works hard to help with training and organization to help people be lifted up out of those problems. So that was a really good seminar, eye-opening. And I know that several of our other council members attended that.
You froze for a moment.
It's my connection. So on that happy note, I will defer to the next council member.
Council Member De Leon.
All right, well, thank you. And thank you all who are, you know, attending tonight. I know it's getting a little late now. I wanted to first just thank all of the candidates who came out and put their names out there and put themselves out on the line for these interviews tonight. Really appreciated hearing the variety of answers and responses. But again, thank you for taking that time and putting yourselves out there. We really appreciate it. I'm sure there'll be others echoing the same. So I just want to start with that I'm excited for possibly what's to come in a few weeks as we make a decision on filling this position for the council. With that in mind, I'll keep the rest of my remarks relatively short. I appreciate Chief Smith also just coming out tonight and all the hard work that these first responders and especially the firefighters are doing during this crisis, another crisis. And again, you know, this is why we have this, we live in a community, and the more we can do to make sure we're following things like burn bans, this is why we have those in place, is so that we can keep our communities safe. So thank you for all the work there, to Chief Smith and all the other firefighters out there. Yes, so otherwise, I also attended the SCA Racial Equity and Justice Seminar, as did other council members and other folks there. I think one of the big takeaways for me in addition to what Councilmember Stout just mentioned, was the ability to go into these work sessions and talk amongst other city leaders around the state or around this region, I should say. And you know, I think it's important that, you know, we're asking those questions and finding out and learning what are other cities doing to move forward on true equity issues. And so there have been many cities that have been doing some amazing work already, you know, and of course there have been some hiccups and some learning moments along the way. But I think that really does go back to what I'm thinking about with the work session that we had last week. I highly encourage the public to listen to that, because it does lay out a lot of where we were discussing. And, you know, it's a lot about asking questions and learning from a lot of people of what went well, what could have gone better. I do hope that with the work that we do with this resolution or this action item that we're coming out with, that we started with the work session last week, is that we do have a lot of really strong action items behind them, and that we do have, and that it's an action item in the sense also that it's an ongoing conversation. Where we don't live in a bubble, this isn't a one and done. I'm hoping that through this, we're inviting other members of the public, just like we were hearing from other cities, about how to really move forward and what community members would really like to see us do on that. So I appreciated that. That session, I really appreciated the input from the work study. I'm looking forward to what comes out of it. But again, I guess my final thoughts on there are, again, for the public, please, you know, we'd love to listen, and especially if you're especially impacted by some of the topics we'll be discussing. Last but not least, I attended my committee meetings, and I also really appreciate the walkthrough on all the water systems. It's really, it's a lot of work, but it is indeed fascinating. So with that, I end my report.
Councilmember Page. Councilmember Page, are you still there?
I am indeed. I have world's shortest report. I really don't have anything to report. And so I will end my report with that.
Thank you so much. Councilmember Deedy.
I also attended my committee meetings and the SCA Racial Equity and Justice Seminar along with the mayor. She was also in attendance, I seen. And I'd also like to thank all everybody who applied for the city council position. I also scrolled through the top up there to see who all stuck around. I think that's great that you did through the council meeting, just to get an idea of how the meeting is run. So thank you. I also have a motion, or we can discuss about the gentleman who wanted to go through the cemetery. I think that was Cascadia Paranormal Investigations, and I had emailed Brenda to see if they could answer some questions. So Brenda emailed them, so I'll read their answers to those questions that Councilmember Wisnowski and I spoke about at the last meeting. So just really quick, he says, it will be most likely be a Saturday evening from 5 p.m. until Sunday morning around 1 a.m., either October 10th, 17th, or the 24th. And he says that we will be walking around the area with electronic equipment, cameras, handheld electromagnetic measuring devices, digital voice recorders, and other things like that. We will be recording our investigation process to be put on our YouTube channel for our viewers to watch. And if allowed, we will put a disclaimer that going to the cemetery after hours is not normally allowed, but we obtain permission by the city officials to discourage other visitors coming to do their own investigation without proper permission. So we've had this before. I think, Mayor, when you were on council, somebody came. I'm not sure if it's the same group. I didn't dig into it. And it went fine. It brought some attention again to our city, and people came out, and any of, if you go into the older stores in town, people, owners will tell you stories about what they hear and things like that. So it's always interesting to bring a group that's not your typical group into Black Diamond and highlight us, but this is pretty cool. So I was just thinking that I could entertain a discussion, or I can read a motion. So if council wants to add any input.
Yeah, I'd say go ahead with the motion, Tammy.
Melissa, did you want?
No, I agree with that. I think, you know, we did allow in the past some other paranormal, you know, investigation throughout our old town, which is like the museum and the antique mall and stuff. And it was very favorable. And the conversation coming out of with the residents and the people that lived there and worked at the museum was awesome. I mean, I had a great time listening to the stories and what came out of that. So I definitely encourage it. I think it's a great thing that they can come in and do it.
Okay, so it's kind of a long motion, but so a motion to allow Cascadia Paranormal Investigations to conduct an investigation at the Black Diamond Cemetery on one of these dates, October 10th, October 17th, or the 24th, from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m., with the understanding that they will contact the city clerk and the Black Diamond Police Department on the day that they choose, proceeding and identify the day, which date will be on, will be in the cemetery. So
I second.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So are you done with your report, Councilmember Deedy?
Yes. Yep.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Thank you, Mayor. I attended my committee meeting last Thursday. I also attended the Lumber House 9/11 celebration. I did miss you, Chief Smith, there. I came shortly after closing my business in Adam Claw, so didn't quite make the presentations that were there, but still was a great event to attend. The owner of the Lumber House does a great job in supporting the community and getting people together. So Just on that note, I always want to support local businesses, and just a shout out to her. She did a great job with that event, and I appreciate her very much. So support small businesses. It's what makes the world go around. Thank you.
Council Member Wisnowski.
All right. So I know we've all been here for a few hours, so I'll try to get this as short as I can. Once again, thanks all the candidates for going through the interview process. You didn't make our decision any easier, right? We've got some very qualified and dedicated community members. So we'll have lots of discussion about who should be next on the council. Attended the finance committee meeting, attended the work study on our inclusivity statement. I think we had a really good discussion there, and I think we've had some good discussion in the subcommittee or whatever we're going to call it since then. I'm reaching out to some members of the Native American community in our community for their input. So I look forward to kind of taking our rough draft and getting all the I's dotted and T's crossed and the input from multiple folks on that. So let's see. Don't forget it's September. It's Chief Smith mentioned, check your smoke detectors. September, October is usually when we remind folks to change their batteries. So if you still have a battery operated smoke detector and you haven't changed your batteries yet this year, please make time to do that. Make a Difference Day is coming up. October 24th this year is Make a Difference Day. Last year it took place in the cleanup of Mama's Old Place before that was sold. And that was a great community event. Lots of folks came together to help clean up that property for the property owner who was terminally ill at that point in time and could not perform the cleanup. And it did help get it sold. Let's see. The other thing is, Council Member Oglesby said, reach out to your small businesses and patronize them the best you can. Right, we've got lots of small businesses here in town. We've got a new deli, a new grill. Went down there and got dinner from there the other night. It was amazing. My wife and daughter have been at the new nail place, Mimi's, loved it there. Go out to your local small businesses and patronize them if you can. And on that, I will close my report.
Thank you. Do we have an attorney report?
Just very briefly, I wanted to follow up on a previous discussion about working on the potential City Hall lease negotiations. I had a nice meeting with Mr. Sorcey's attorney this morning. We're getting close to having a final, or at least a reasonably final draft of a lease, and we're hoping to bring that item to council in the near future, while at the same time, staff are continuing to investigate what kinds of leasehold improvements might be required and the cost of those. So you'll have the whole picture in front of you when you're deciding how you want to proceed.
Thank you.
A mayor.
Councilmember Deedy.
So on the talking of new businesses in town, PETA, which is a business in Enumclaw, has now also come to Black Diamond, and they are located operating out of the Black Diamond Eagles Hall. They're using their kitchen, and they're open from 11, I believe, until 8 at night, and they're an excellent place as well. New business here in town. And you don't need to be a member of the Eagles Hall to go enjoy their food as well.
Thank you. So we do not have, I'm sorry, Council Member Oglesby.
I just wanted to add one more thing to the applications that apply for the position 6 is, you know, I want to encourage you guys to continue to stick with us, whoever we choose to come in to that position. Don't be discouraged not to run when election comes up. It's a good opportunity that we encourage you guys to stay on board with us. So just wanted to do a shout out to that because I want to make sure you guys stay around.
Well, and there's a lot of positions open too. So there'll be four positions. Is that what it is? I think so. So it'll be four positions open, the mayor and three council positions. So anyway, yes. So just stay out there. So we don't have an executive session, so I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.